AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business and Edge with Margaret Jackson. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Hernandez Law Group, reliable and affordable debt solutions. From home mortgages to a variety of debt solution options, Hernandez Law Group has a 90 percentile proven track record. For more information, go to www.khernandezlegal.com or www.savingcaliforniahomes.com, or you can call for an initial free consultation at 510-456-7400. This show is also brought to you by Business on the Edge, servicing Bay Area companies with public relations, new business development, marketing strategy, small business resources, business and leadership seminars, workshops, and webinars. For a free consultation, go to www.businessontheedge.biz or call 408-357-0951. We always want to thank our listeners for tuning in each week. We appreciate your listenership. Our goal is to impact and influence. Thank you. We thank you. We applaud you. Our goal is to impact and influence your professional world that will give you the tools you need to accomplish your business and professional purpose. And, of course, as always, you can dial into the show and participate with your questions at any time at 800-516-1220. Write that down, 800-516-1220. Our On the Edge challenge question tonight, pretty simple. What are characteristics of a leader? And we say a leader should have character, but what does that really mean? There's characteristics to character. We're going to touch on that a little bit tonight before we bring in our guest tonight, so hang on to that question there. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny or destination. I like to say destination. The author of that quote is unknown, but I think it's important to what we're talking about tonight and what I'm going to share a little bit to you about. A little story for you. Who's this senior producer doing an Easter event at the San Jose Arena back in the late 90s. And the senior producer had probably 300 or so production members or more, and for this major event for Easter. And so it probably filled that day about 16,000 people. And so if you've ever been into the San Jose Arena in the nooks and crannies, the green room is so far from the control room. It's a mecca hike just to try to get to the control room from the green room. And when you work a production, you have to feed your crew. You have to, especially if they're unionized, you have to feed them every 4 hours or so, let them take a break. And but truth be told, some of them cannot get from the control room down to this hike. And so in the arena, and if you really want to work out, walking up those stairs, I don't know if the arena has an elevator. I've never found one. So if it's one in there, I'd like to learn where it's at. But so what the senior producer did is, instead of asking the production assistants, and that's what they typically do, take care of the people, and you can have them do a lot of the grunt work, they took some of the food that was there in the green room where the crew would come and take a break and get something to drink and fruits and all kinds of things, took it to the control room, walked into the control room with all of this food because they couldn't get down, and said, "I was just thinking about you guys. I wanted to make sure that you're okay." And the look on their faces, and you could tell that that's not something that happened all the time or ever for that matter, and the senior producer turned on their heels and walked out and went back to the green room. And I share that story because I was that senior producer, and I walked in 3-inch heels to them to make sure that they were taken care of. And I say that because we're talking about leaders and leadership and character. And when you take care of your people will take care of you. And it was really easy. It would be very easy for me to say, you know, these two production assistants go and, you know, take care of our crew up there. I wanted them to know. I do things like that on purpose because I want people to understand that I'm there for them and I'm not just someone who's going to hand out directives and not participate in the success of the whole project or whatever we're doing, because I never ask people to do things that I'm not willing to do myself. And so one of my characteristics for being a great leader or on your journey to becoming a great leader is, in that characteristic, is consideration and considering what's going on with your people. Think before you act. Respond how you want to respond with words and actions and frustrations and situations, because you impact. And if your words are wrong, my assistant often tells me when we talk, you know, she can tell that I'm thinking when I'm responding to something, and she says, you know, I can never tell when you're frustrated or when you're upset or when we leave a customer or a client. And my responsibility is to make sure that everything ends well and we take care of the people that we work with, we take care of our employees. And number two characteristic of a leader, trustworthiness. And I like to use words like trustworthiness, devotion, confidence, conviction. When you have those character and you develop these, this is not something that you're born with. You have to develop good characters. People will, whether it's your ideas, resolve to impact them and influence the change. And that comes by being trustworthy, being devoted. People know whether or not you're devoted to them and whether or not you have confidence in what you're doing and that you have a conviction for what you're doing. And when you have that, people want to follow someone who has resolved and are standing for something. Number three, be composed and stay calm. Keep your peace when you want to keep things together, especially when things fall apart. If things are falling apart, you want to keep it together. Your team needs to make sure that you're keeping it together, and that's important. Number four, one of my favorites, and I do have a story for this. In my early days of growing, in my continuous growth as a leader, I've grown past this, but self-control, you know, when you're younger growing and you're having new opportunities, sometimes we don't have the restraint that we need. And so hopefully you go into that and you let the life lessons of work or your life experiences to help you learn self-control, self-restraint. You can choose to stay in control rather than becoming combative. If you cannot resolve a situation, it's okay to walk away. It's okay to say, you know what, let's table this. Let's, you know, maintain your character. Don't let some situation or someone else or someone's words provoke you to be something that you do not have to be. And I'm going to be honest, as a woman of color, you know, and women of color, black, you know, we tend to get stereotyped as being, well, we're just angry black women. Well, sometimes I am angry, and I guess I might be an angry black woman. There's times that's probably true, but I am not. But everyone gets angry. I don't care what color you are or what you're, you know, whether you're male, female. And so, but I do have passion for what I believe in. But I do monitor and watch. And these are things that you have to watch daily. Things come up daily. This is not something that you can table. And then hopefully if something bad happens, you're able to maintain self-control. You know, we have to do it with our children. We have to do it in our workplace. And so I've learned, if I maintain my self-control and I choose to use my words rather than anger, and let me just say, just because you're not using your words doesn't mean that you're in self-control. I was in a situation, I have to tell this quick story. I wasn't planning to tell this story, but I have to tell this story. I was on a project, I was on a production, and I read the contract for the talent in this organization that was supposed to be doing this big shoot for this major network, and I won't say the network's name because you all would know them. And I don't know why the contract wasn't signed the day of, but what I did, they gave it to me as their senior producer, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, what? You know, and I'm a contract producer, so I didn't see everything from day to day. And I read the contract, and any time I see something that's been that's into perpetuity, like forever, and you don't get any residuals like forever, and the organization can use it to benefit them forever financially. I have just a slight problem with it. So I told the talent and the executive producer who, and when I say executive producer, there's some organizations that have executive producers that really do not deal with production stuff. And I told them they would do this show. They were doing the show every week anyway. But I said, don't sign this contract because it does not benefit you. It's not a win-win contract. It's a win-lose contract. So I said, I'll be the bad guy. I will tell the liaison for this network that we're not doing this. And this is the day of the shoot. So we're like on in the evening. And so when I told her, and I say this because I have never seen in if I'm going to make someone mad tonight, I'm not trying to, but really, as black women, angry black women, white women get angry too. I'm just going to put it out there because I've never seen anyone turn so red so fast, and just it was like something out of a cartoon. I promise you, it was like I thought she was going to blow. You know how the cartoons blow the top of their head and all of this fire and stuff because they're and the stuff comes out of their ears. I'm telling you, that's what I saw, and I thought because I told her we're not signing this contract. It's not a good contract.
Houston, we have a problem.
And so if we could have signed it, if they had taken out one word into perpetuity, and if we could have done something that was win-win, it was no problem. And so it's just interesting. Maintain your self-control and humility. Number five. And I do have more points. If you want more points, you can connect with us on our Facebook page and let me know, and we will send those over to you as well. Humility, humility. Nothing gets done without a team working together. Celebrate your team together. Be transparent as a leader. Stay humble. Be appreciative. And even, we say humility or meekness, and your team will appreciate and respect you and respect the strength that you keep when you show humility. And I'm talking about real humility. Don't fake humility. It's unappealing. But be humble. Take care of the people that you're working with, and stay confident, strong, and they will respect you. Having said that, I have a person in my studio tonight, City of Sunnyvale Mayor Anthony Spitaleri, who is, in my opinion, and we're going to go to break in just a second, but I got to tell you, he is a leader. He is a leader, and he has these characteristics and more. And when we come back from our break, we're going to bring Mayor Spitaleri in, and we're going to talk about what he's doing for the city of San Jose. You're listening to AM 12. I'm sorry, did I say San Jose? City of Sunnyvale. Let's not get that twisted, MJ. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We'll be back in a minute.
Thanks for listening to Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business and Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are not here in the studio tonight with the mayor of San Jose. So if that's what you're listening, you can go ahead and turn off that. He's not here tonight. Chuck Reed is somewhere else, I'm sure, doing well. Tonight we're in the studio with Mayor Anthony Spitaleri of the city of Sunnyvale. And the mayor has an interesting background. He's one of our firefighters, 36, 37 years in the Palo Alto Fire Department. He's a community man. And I know we like to say that, you know, I have this thing that politics really get in the way of progress, but not all politicians or those that run for some civic seat or leadership is I want to say it like this: is a politician. Mayor Spitaleri to me is one of us, and so you're a passionate mayor, and some would even call you not a professional politician, but rather one of us. How do you respond to that?
Well,
Well, I, first of all, I think it's a great compliment. And one of the best compliments I got was a few weeks back when we were all meeting and someone left and said, you know, it was great to meet a blue-collar mayor.
Right.
You know, I relate to life. I relate to how the community treated myself and my family as I was raising them there and said, you know, that was what shaped my thinking as a young man growing up in New York City. The things that were of value, what were of value were people.
Right.
Today it's things.
Right, right.
And we lose sight of the real value of the community, and that's the people that we live with, work with, and serve. You know, that's where I come from.
Well, that's the feeling that we got from you when we sat down and met with you. You were so gracious. You sat down with myself, my assistant, and our intern, and was just so generous with your time. And we don't get to see that often. So that's we appreciate that, and we appreciate your time for doing that. But you have some interesting things happening there in Sunnyvale, like the expansion of LinkedIn coming to the city of Sunnyvale, 3,000 jobs by 2014. And here's my thing is, now, world, you know, wherever you're listening across the nation or country or world, you do know that the city of San Jose is like the tech capital of the world, Silicon Valley. You know it starts with San Jose. But the mayor here is getting some real, I think we're having another Silicon Valley or another place that is raising up tech companies and coming there instead of San Jose. What's that all about? How did that happen?
Well, I'll take a little exception to what you say about San Jose. We always feel that Sunnyvale was the start of Silicon Valley. And going back to, you know, when Lockheed was there and then from Lockheed into the high tech and chip making. But I think what's exciting about Sunnyvale and what's exciting to us with these companies looking at Sunnyvale to bring their companies and their employees is, you know, we wonder what causes that. You know, and as I said earlier, that in this past year we've had 860 businesses move into Sunnyvale, and some of the top businesses, if I may, HP, Microsoft, LinkedIn, Apple, Google, now Amazon. It just goes on and on and on. And when I get this question all the time, what are you doing? What's the deal here?
Right.
And, you know, and I thought about that, and besides the fact that companies want to be next to companies that have a lot of things going on and the brain trust and be able to share and next step. But it has to be more than that. And my thought, and I believe, is the stability of the city.
Right.
Company comes to the city and say, what are we moving into? What kind of community are we moving? Are we moving into a community that really works as a partnership with its business, which we pride ourselves on? We don't just talk it. We walk it. We meet with CEOs. So many CEOs are surprised to see us in their office versus them coming to our office.
Right.
You know,
right.
We make that a point. And I think when they look at how we do our 20-year financial planning, how we do long-range estimates on how we're going to serve those businesses, when you bring in 3,000 employees, and in the last few months we brought in maybe, you know, between HP and Microsoft and LinkedIn, you're talking thousands and thousands of employees, that equates to how do we service that?
Right.
What are the amenities in our city for living, for shopping, and just, you know, transportation? Those are the things that we constantly have to work on to make that work. And we do that with, seriously, when I say long-range planning, not long-range budgeting, long-range financial planning. How
right.
do we make that work?
Right.
And that's what we do there.
Because that's so compelling. In fact, I want to read this quote from you. NBC News picked this up and talked about LinkedIn expanding, and one of the things that you were saying, a lot of major technology companies have expanded and moved into Sunnyvale, but when you talk about that it's stable, there's stability there. We don't hear that in this economy. Are you kidding? There's stability. So you guys hear, you know, this is like, maybe I should move to Sunnyvale. What should I do? You know, and so that's refreshing to hear that there's a city, especially in California, since California's like broke. So there's stability in San Jose. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to talk more with Mayor Spitaleri on how do we get manufacturing jobs back into America. This is a little bit of burr in my saddle, and so I'm going to see what he's saying about that. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson.
is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. My guest in the studio tonight is the mayor of Sunnyvale, Mayor Anthony Spitaleri, and we are kind of just talking about jobs in America, manufacturing, why Sunnyvale seems to... He says that they're really the king of the, you know, if we were crowning someone in terms of technology, it really sparked in Sunnyvale. I don't know. I haven't seen that history. I think it's San Jose. That's just me. But there's stability. We have not heard stability. If you want to call in and ask this mayor any questions or any frustrations that you might have within your city and his advice, please call in at 800-516-1220. That's 800-516-1220. He is a down-to-earth mayor who will tell you how the cow ate a cabbage, whatever that means. I heard that one time, and I'm like, what does that mean? But I like it. I'll repeat it. So now, so you have the stability. We have... we're talking about this now manufacturing jobs. Now, you told me you went to the Coca-Cola plant here in San Leandro. Tell me about that visit. Tell us, you know, because I don't think we knew that Coca-Cola actually is doing all of their manufacturing and production here in the United States.
Yes, I got the invite to come do a tour at Coca-Cola, and I really had no thought about what this was about other than maybe go see what a soft drink looks like, you know.
Right.
And I'll tell you, from the presentation of their commitment to the environment, their commitment to health, their commitment to keeping Americans working is phenomenal. And then when you go into this plant and you see that everything that they do, the cans, the bottles, the plastics, are made here. Recycling is done here.
Wow.
All in their own manufacturing plants throughout the United States. And they employ 65,000 employees, 500 in San Leandro. You know, it really made me feel good because here I was back into a real bottling manufacturing company.
What does that look like?
You know,
huh?
The last time I was in something like that was when I was an employee at General Motors in Fremont many, many years ago. You know,
right.
And, you know, I haven't seen a plant like that yet or have seen anyone open a plant like that yet.
Right, right.
And that's really the crux of if you want to get back American workers back to work, we have to start manufacturing in this country again. And we have to do a different type of manufacturing. As I talked about General Motors, we made cars.
Right.
Well, only 2% of the cars touched by human hands now. It's all robotics.
Right.
So we need to make those robots here,
right,
not in another country. That's the new manufacturing, the new type of manufacturing. We can take the newness of all the technology and saying, that's what we need to manufacturing here.
Because of the progression of technology and what we're seeing, there's different things to be manufactured. You know, we did a press conference a couple of weeks ago at the San Jose City Hall with Hastess Solutions, and Hastess Solutions is a small business, and they want to expand, and they want to expand not just locally but nationally, and they want to start with 250 new jobs, and for a small business, that's a lot of jobs for a small business. And so, starting from the bottom to the top, they want to expand, and then they want to expand in San Jose, and then into other cities. Could be Sunnyvale, could be whatever. Which I think Sunnyvale, from what we're hearing, is a fantastic place to be anyway. But and then they're outsourcing. They develop test chambers. So who, you know, we didn't talk about that years ago. I mean, it's not like they weren't being done, but they develop environmental test chambers. And so they might need sheet metal being cut or whatever, and then they need it painted. You know, that could be done at any of, you know, one of our clients, Auto Body Bliss. That's what they do. They paint, you know, they're able to do that same work, but it's getting the community back to work. This is outsourcing into Sunnyvale, into Milpitas, into surrounding areas. And so the one thing that I'm excited about this is that you said something on the break that was powerful, and I'm going to say this on air. The mayor said that, and we hear this, that the backbone of our country is small business, but sometimes politically it's easy to gravitate to the larger businesses. But he's he's balanced. He's fair. He not only talks to the large businesses, but you can walk down areas of Sunnyvale businesses, and they know Mayor Spitaleri because he sat down with a small business guy too, because he understands their needs and he fights for them. So that we need to applaud you for that. Do we have applause? Can you give him some applause here? Come on, wake up, my.
Well, thank you.
My producers, I know, break. Also, hey, we have a summit coming up in November 10th, the Live Life on Purpose Business on the Edge Summit, Business and Finance, and that is November 10th. For you to learn more about that, go to www.businessontheedge.biz. We are registering. You want to be a part of this. We're trying to get people out of debt, and we're trying to get you into businesses and self-employment and how to lead a company. Just because you have a skill doesn't mean, or something that you can do, that you can lead a company. We're going to help you do that. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Business on the Edge with Margaret, and we have Mayor Anthony Spitaleri, the mayor of Sunnyvale, California, the new capital of the USA. I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. We kick over stuff all the time here. He's for the small business. And so now, what about, Mayor, we were just talking about the old and the new in terms of business models. In terms of businesses, it used to be taking care of the customers and employees. Now that's kind of shifted. It's kind of top heavy in terms of taking care of the stockholders. What's your take on that? Your opinion on that?
Yeah. Well, going back as a young man working in industry and listen to my father and uncle and other people talk, a business main concern initially. Was their customers, always their customers, then their employees, and then their shareholders. What we've seen in this country now, it's shareholders, customers, and employees. Employees are now at the bottom of the rung. And when we've seen over the years of companies that shut down or merge, or employees are thrown to the side, and so then there's this cause of loyalty. Mm-hmm. When you worked for a company years ago, you could pretty much say you were going to work there for 25, 30 years and mm-hmm. retire out with some kind of benefit.
Right.
You can't say that now.
Right.
And so it's frustrating. And to me, in order to get the loyalty back and reinvest in our country, we got to reinvest back into our employees with new training. I always hear, the company saying, well, we got to invest in training and we've got to make sure we have more students taking science and math, and we need them. We need those specialties. We need to have that to survive. But then, what are they doing about it?
Right, right.
What are they making contribution to schools and colleges
right.
and where's that money? It's not there.
Right.
So they're not walking the talk.
Right.
Right. And that's frustrating. And to me, we need to get back into manufacturing into this country.
Sure.
We need to get back and buy in America.
Right.
And if I can read this great quote
that was given to me.
It was done by a great leader that's currently in Congress. And American made, to make it in America will help us to stop the erosion of our manufacturing base. This is not meant to be a protectionist, but to be self-reliant.
Right.
We talk about free trade, but we really need fair trade.
Absolutely.
We need a balance, and I remember as a mayor some time ago, we were pushed very hard to vote for the expansion of free trade with Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was opposed to that.
Right.
I'm for free trade, but I wanted to connect it to, fair trade.
Right.
If we send you 10 widgets or you send us 10 widgets, I want to be able to send you 10 widgets. There's
right.
the best commercial on TV where they show these empty containers sitting there that come off ships, come to our country loaded with goods, but not going back with anything.
Right, right.
Someone said it's a monument to American workers, and it's true.
Right, right.
We've got to do that, or otherwise we will sink.
And that's called a win-win exactly. situation. It's not a win-lose, and it's not a lose-win. And that's what we have to understand as leaders and business owners, that early on as a business owner, I made mistakes along the way. That's why I can sit here and talk to people today about smart business. And I do business with people that do business with me. I make it a point to work together to create win-win situations. I do not do win-lose deals. I don't do we win and you lose, and I don't do we lose and you win. But win-win means that you can continue to do business long-term. And so we're not looking just for short-term profits. We're looking for long-term relationships. And that's what you're talking about. If I send you 10 widgets, you send me back 10 widgets, and that's win-win. And so we can certainly appreciate that methodology, but we don't see that. So how do we get there?
Well, obviously, we need to, you know, I support incentives for businesses. I think they need them.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to be with requirements.
Right.
You know, so if we're going to give you a tax break, we're going to maybe undo some regulations to make you be more productive, then you owe us jobs.
Absolutely.
You're going to guarantee us jobs. Or you don't get the tax break,
right.
So you don't get the loosening of the regulations. You know, this whole, slipped my mind, but anyway, the companies that have monies overseas, Repatriation Act,
right.
You know, all that money they have over there, and they don't want to bring it back over here because
right.
they don't want to pay the 35% on that.
Right.
You know, I'm going to, you know, if I was president, I'll cut it in half. But
right.
But what you're going to have to do is really build factories here, put people back to work, and then you get your tax break.
Absolutely.
But we don't get that.
Right.
We don't get that. They fight any chance, corporate America fights any chance of doing that because they don't want that kind of regulation or commitment to the American people to build jobs in this country.
So I'm gonna. Do we have any bombs in there? I'm gonna blow something up here, and that's probably the bad word to use right now on the radio.
Yeah.
It's a figure of speech. Let me say this. I'm gonna stick a burr in your saddle. You know, it's so bad you can't say anything without being politically correct. I'm politically incorrect, so let's just get
that's
that straight. But I want to keep it real. Here's the deal. In terms of our responsibility, you're talking about the corporations, you're talking about bringing manufacturing back and not the jobs over there. But this country was built on, like, slave labor, zero pay, low pay, and I don't think that mentality has really gone away. I think we've shifted it. It's been shifted to overseas and working with people. And so I know that this might not be, you know, things that people want to hear, but really, you're still sending your jobs overseas now, and then we're not reaping the benefits of that. And so these are people that still can't pay and support their families, and here we are, less productive in terms of our country, less financially strong, but corporate America's getting richer, and that's the same thing that I see. No, you don't like it, but slavery, it's true, right? You know, that, you know, wealth was built that way for that time frame of the American people who were, you know.
Well, you're right. I mean, when you think about it, you're correct. I mean, way back when, the 1800s, you know,
sure.
building railroads, you know, cutting through mountains, they use the cheapest labor that they can.
Right.
But the difference is that money stayed here.
Right.
And from that money came communities.
Right.
And from that communities came a better way of life.
Right.
We built this country on the backs of those low wages because they turned around and reinvested into their own country, reinvested into their own communities, and wages got better. Working conditions got better.
Right.
Schools got better.
We're going to get back to this. I'm going to have to cut this off really quick. We're going to go to a break. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson.
Now, back to Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
I said a hip,
welcome back to Business on the Edge. That's when you could understand the words to a rap song back in the day. I like that. Today, I can't. I'm like, and then what they talk about, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and don't tell me that you're you know, sharing your political views on my behalf. Anyway, moving on. So, again, we're at the tail end of our show. We usually take calls 800-516-1220. Please remember that our summit is coming up November 10th, Live Life on Purpose Business and Finance Summit, Business and Finance Leadership and Finance Summit. I don't even know my own event, really. I need a drink. So really, what we're going to teach you, we want to help get you financially stable, and we want to give you the tools to make you a great leader in your company, whether it's a small business, mid-sized business. If you're an employee, this is also for those that are employees who want to advance. There's ways of doing that, and we're going to help you do that. If you want to learn more about that and register for the event, it's www.businessontheedge.biz. And we're going to go back to Mayor Spitaleri. This is probably one of the, you are certainly one of the best mayors that I've had an opportunity to meet and the pleasure to meet. What's your advice to us as the American people? This is nationwide, live on the internet for sure, and of course locally here if you're in your car. But what can you tell us? How can we help create jobs? How can we improve our economies in our cities if we get involved? What does that look like? What would you tell us to do? Because I do not subscribe to that it is just on the shoulders of our civic leaders. If I wait for the federal government to try to agree on anything, I'm not going to survive. So I launched two businesses. So here we are, because I lost my first business because of the 2007 downturn. It crushed us as a multimedia company. What's the advice can you give us in about a 1 minute? What would that be?
Well, obviously the quickest answer is to get involved, but really get involved. Don't rely on someone else to fix the problem. You need to go down to City Hall. You need to talk to your council member, your mayor, and saying, what are you doing to bring jobs into the city? Really, what are you doing?
Right.
What's the incentives? Are you talking to the business that when they open up here that they're going to put us to work? Do you have a policy to say, if you're going to come to our city, we want you to deploy this many people?
Right.
And it's bold and tough talking, and no one likes to tell business how to run a business. But there's a responsibility to business. They've got to not just take advantage of this country and make money, but take advantage of their business and then reinvest it back into the people that are in their communities, not somewhere else.
Right.
And I think my hat's off to you. You're the type of person we need. Mm-hmm. We need many of you out there.
Right, thank
you. Put the people on the spot. Put companies on the spot.
Sure.
Go to CEOs and say, well, great, Apple, you're moving here to us, but what are you going to do as far as providing jobs?
Right.
Manufacturing jobs.
Right, absolutely.
We have all the software engineers in the world and everything,
sure.
But we don't have anyone putting laptops together here.
Right.
My wife was in assembly in a chip company many years ago working for Raytheon. I don't mean to plug them,
but
that job's gone.
Right.
We don't assemble anything here anymore,
Right.
We need that. We need to bring people back here doing all types of jobs. And I think for us as citizens, we need to put the heat under our elected officials, but more so under our companies, saying
right.
that we buy your products, but we need you to
come on, absolutely.
Come here and put us to work, and we'll build your products.
Right. See, there's a vote right there. There's a vote. I can vote for that. I have a quick scenario for you that I put together. Unemployment rate is 8.3 nationwide. If we took 1% of the unemployed people and had some incentive to encourage them to become self-employed, just self-employed doesn't mean that they're employing themselves and they was able to grow their business in 1 year in that first 12 months in $35,000 to $45,000. Would you consider this change in America? And I'm saying, so 1%, so we took 8.3%, and we took just 1% of those people, making it a 7.3% unemployment rate. Would you encourage this change?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to really do everything possible to fix our unemployment. The president, whoever who may become president, it's a tough, tough thing to do. And the only way you can do it is look at regulations, look at helping business be able to reinvest back in this country.
Right.
And without that, it's not going to happen. But what you just said is perfect. If we can do that, great, because those people will turn around and employ people.
Absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
They might just say, you know, she got a great business, but I think I can do it. I'll go open my own business.
Right, right, right. That's free enterprise, though.
That's free enterprise, and that was the American way forever.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And now we don't have that, and we've got to change that way of thinking, and our people need to start stepping up to the plate.
Fantastic. This has been fantastic, and we're going to get out of here tonight, but we want to thank Mayor Anthony Spitaleri, the mayor of the city of Sunnyvale, San Jose. We've been talking to all these mayors. He is the mayor of Sunnyvale, California, the new technology the capital of the United States. We love it. We thank you. Appreciate you coming in. AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson.
Thank you, Margaret.